Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, marine experts have been left baffled by a series of recent strandings of beaked whales in Mayo, across Scotland and in the Netherlands. Beaked whales normally live in deep oceans, so it's unclear what's caused several of them to wash up on our shores. At the same time, interest in whale watching here has almost never been higher, according to search trends released by Google. Well, for more on this, I'm joined in studio by underwater cameraman and documentary filmmaker Ken O'Sullivan. Good morning to you, Ken.
Good morning, Colm. How are you?
How rare is it for this species to wash up on our shores? A whale and her calf were recently stranded on a North Mayo beach.
Yeah, I mean, I think sightings or stranding records are probably one or two a year. And as our understanding of these animals has grown, as you say, whales and dolphins in Ireland in recent decades, we're now aware of the conservation issues. And there is a disturbing and worrying trend of whales, dolphins washing up, both dead and alive, on our coast. It's something we've done a lot of work in the last 2 years. It's in our new Dolphins documentary going out in RTE end of this month, particularly relating to dolphins. But we've seen a worrying trend. And as you said, this past weekend, we had three different countries reporting beaked whales stranding on their shores.
For anyone who's not familiar with them, what is a beaked whale? Like, kind of how big are they? What are the distinguishing characteristics?
Well, we've got five species in Irish waters. And I suppose they're beaked because they've got a kind of a pointy nose, like a bottlenose dolphin. So they're like big dolphins, grow to about 7 metres. Some beaked whales are so rare, they've never actually been seen alive. We just have know about them, and they've been described from dead animals that washed up. In all my years in the ocean, I've only seen one once. I saw Cuvier's about 70 kilometres west of Mayo. Got a couple of scratchy photographs. Very enigmatic animals. They dive down to 2,500 metres. Cuvier's are kind of beige and brown skin. Lots of scrape. They live tough lives fighting with other predators and prey in the deep ocean. So very, very rare animals that I guess we need to protect.
So there seems to be, as we said at the outset, there are kind of widespread strandings from the Netherlands to Scotland to Ireland, you know, very different types of shorelines, shallow in the Netherlands, deeper off Scotland and Ireland. So is there anything in common? What's the trend?
Well, I mean, we don't know. Obviously, multiple animals washing up in multiple locations at the same time obviously would indicate a common source. You don't have to be a detective to see that. Over the past few years, for example, in 2018, we had 75 Cuvier's beaked whales washed up on the coast of Scotland and Ireland within about 7 weeks. And that's really, really worrying. What could be happening there? The likely culprits, I suppose, are some kind of sound pollution, some kind of sound damage. So if we think
What's the effect of that?
So I mean, if we think of these animals, a sound is their primary sense in the same way that hearing is for us. Because if you've ever been in the sea in Ireland or anywhere in the North Atlantic, you might see 5 or 10 metres. Once you dive down a little bit, you don't see very much at all. And these animals go to 2,500 metres where it's completely dark. So these were land mammals that 40, 50 million years ago, they evolved back into the ocean. And they've developed sound as their primary sense. So they use these clicks, very bad impression, and something called echolocation. And the sound that comes back from that, the echo from that click in their brain, they're able to create a picture of what's there, like a three-dimensional type image. So up to, let's say, 1820, there was no man-made sound in the ocean. Then we see steamships, which primarily operated on sail. At 1903, we have the first diesel-powered ship coming into the ocean. Oddly enough, commissioned by the Nobel family, as in the Nobel Peace Prize,
right,
a Swedish-Russian consortium of business people, and ominously named Vandal. Since then, over the decades, we now have, if you look at marine traffic today, or the website, there's 60 to 70,000 merchant ships on the ocean at any one point in time.
And that's only the surface.
That's only the surface. And they're creating huge amount of noise. I guess, you know, I don't know, your colleague has a clip there. We recorded, we did huge work in our last documentary to record sound in the ocean, both of dolphins and then of marine traffic. And we recorded a container ship, I think it was off Dublin. We might be able to play it here. And it's deafeningly loud, 187 decibels.
Okay, we do have it. Yeah, here it is.
Decibels. You can't really compare air and water, but
I was actually, we were just, while that was playing, you were trying to say something to me and I couldn't hear anything. So there you go. Case proven. But what's, you know, in the water to animals like whales that are that sensitive to it. What's the effect of that kind of a din?
Well, so the use echolocation and the use whistles, first of all, to navigate, to hunt, and then whistles to communicate with each other. Now, if you've got really loud noise like that, you know, they won't be able to hear each other, and they can't obviously navigate to hunt. More worryingly, Colm, I think, and I think people are pretty united in that the likely causes, and again, we can't say, unfortunately, we don't have a government-funded post-mortem scheme in Ireland. Every other European country does that I know. So what might be causing it? It's probably military sonar. What's sonar? It's something humans created to mimic.
Is that something that's been turned up in countries where there have been post-mortems, yes, where they've absolutely been able to attribute it to that?
Yeah, it was a very famous documentary a few years ago, American documentary Sonic Sea, and they covered this, and the American military acknowledged that, and they've done great efforts to try and avoid them, causing this harm to whales and dolphins. So what does it do? They're deep diving. If they're down at 2,000 metres and suddenly this screamingly loud sound comes, the sonar, which is looking for submarines and looking for the echo back from submarines, the animal takes fright. A couple of things could happen. He might ascend too quickly, and they get the bends, nitrogen narcosis, as I would as a scuba diver. Right,
from a depth of, are you talking about from a depth of 2,000 metres and just rising too rapidly?
Because they take fright. Now, I've been in the water on one of the islands when a ferry went overhead at 20 metres. And even though I knew if I rose to the surface, it would probably kill me, I had to stop myself going because it's so loud, you take fright or flight. So that's one thing, that they can rise too quickly and they get the bends. More likely than not, some of this military sonar is so intense and so powerful that it actually can damage their ears. And ultimately, when we go through the outside, the inner ear into the cochlea, ultimately our ears and mammals are a little hair that's very, very vulnerable. And if that gets damaged, and we've seen evidence of this trauma in animals that have washed up, they're deaf, and a deaf whale is a dead whale. It's like being in the sea blind, if you think of it yourself, and trying to swim around.
And are there any kind of treaties governing this? Are there any protocols around even people who are doing, you know, mapping exercises using sound or anything like that? Are there manuals or protocols or international treaties governing any of this?
Well, so look, I mean, I suppose the problem is we can't be naive here, right? So we know there have been military activity with Russian submarines off in our waters here in Ireland, with their shadow fleet of vessels. They were conducting a munitions exercise a few years ago, if you remember, off Cork and Kerry, and the fishermen were doubted or threatened to go out and try and stop them. So every year, apparently twice a year since the Second World War, NATO conduct military exercises, naval exercises northwest of Scotland. I think it's called Strike Warrior or Joint Warrior. And the primary thing they're trying to practice is anti-submarine warfare, because that's the biggest threat. So they're using mass amounts, very intensification of sonar. And what can they do? I'm not aware that there are treaties. I know the American military, since that documentary, have tried to mitigate how they use sonar. It's very simple, you can do. Don't use it in areas where you know these deep diving whales are, and try to scan the area for marine mammals before you do that.
And in terms of the numbers of whales, what impact has there been of, you know, the amount of shipping and everything else on the whale population in the world?
Well, I mean, we don't know. Obviously, ship strikes is another serious problem with ships in the ocean. Bearing in mind, as we said, these animals evolved for 40 million years before any ships were in the ocean. So it's taken them, you know, 150 years to get used to this. What we can say, 75 Cuvier's beaked whales washed up in Ireland and Scotland in 7 weeks, right? We interviewed this brilliant woman in La Rochelle University. It's in her new documentary on dolphins. And she did a calculation as to if 10 animals wash up, she looks at the weather in the previous days, the currents, the tides, etc., the winds, what number were likely to have died. And she's come up with a number, it's around about up to 8. So if 10 wash up, 80 died. But that's in the Bay of Biscay, where the dolphins die close offshore. If we have beaked whales dying 400 kilometres out in the ocean, I believe we could multiply that 75 by 10 or 15 or 20. And a brilliant scientist at UCC, Emer Rogan, did a population estimate of Cuvier's beaked whales in Irish waters, and I think the figure is 3,500.
Okay.
So if you're saying 75 multiplied by 10, you're killing 25% of the population.
Just finally, I mean, I said at the outset that, you know, there's never been a greater interest in whale watching. So in the 30 seconds left to us, what's the where would you recommend and how would you recommend going about it?
Well, look, I meet Irish people that say, oh, I went to South Africa whale watching, you know, why not go to West Cork, West Kerry, Donegal Bay the last two or three summers? They've had humpback whales there pretty much every day all summer, any day that they can go out. Dolphin watching in the Shannon Estuary. It's here on our west coast, on our Atlantic coast. And it's a fantastic way to see these animals in their own environment. And, you know, whale watching operations are a great opportunity for coastal communities in decline.
Okay. All right, Ken O'Sullivan, underwater cameraman and documentary maker. Thanks very much for joining us.